Turkish example of 4 or 5 decades before democracy was established in Turkey.
Yes.
So this is what the Americans are promoting in Egypt. But I hope this time they will take a serious action, because their credibility and their interest will be damaged in the area if they didn't confront this military regime and military coup in Egypt.
Well, I'm going to go into the issue of the political situation inside of Egypt now, but before I do that, I want to give our viewers a chance to take a look at some of the comments that have been posted on our Facebook page. We'll be right back.
In just 2 hearings, an Egyptian court has sentenced to death 528 supporters of the ousted Morsi government. The fate of 528 people has been sealed in a matter of minutes. Why is this not a front-running story in the Western media? Where is the outcry regarding the abuse of human rights on such a mass scale? Let's not forget the Sisi-led coup was US-backed to supposedly lead the people into democracy and remove the Islamic regime. This is just a glimpse of what is to come under the American-backed Sisi government and his democratic system. At this time of political unrest in the Middle East, and particularly Egypt, this verdict will increase tension rather than reducing it. Leaders, be careful. Once again, another US-backed military dictatorship shows its true colors. It's sickening.
Just some of the comments that were posted on our Facebook page. I'll go quickly to our guest in the US, Detroit, Mr. Azikiwi. Now, a lot of references there to the US-backed military in Egypt. Again, just to get into inside the political situation within the country, we know that the military-backed government has called the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization. Why do you think the Brotherhood has been termed a terrorist group? And do you think that we should accept and acknowledge this fact that the Muslim Brotherhood has a big support base among the public in Egypt, and something must be done about that? You can't simply allow these protests to continue forever.
They want to demonize the Muslim Brotherhood after the Muslim Brotherhood had won an election during 2012 that had international supervision. The government was recognized by the United Nations, by the European Union, by the African Union, and other international bodies. So to label a government after it's been overthrown using military force as terrorists is clearly designed to further provide a rationalization for the wholesale murder, detention, and torturing of thousands of people. And this is what has happened in Egypt since last July. The United States has not once condemned the role of the military in regard to seizing power on July 3rd. They have not characterized the developments around the seizure of power by the Field Marshal al-Sisi as a coup d'etat. This is clearly self-serving. It upholds the long-term relationship between the Egyptian military and the United States. The Egyptian military has played a very important role as far as U.S. foreign policy is concerned in North Africa and in the Middle East. They have enforced the so-called Camp David Accords of 1978 and 1979 under the Carter administration, which have not benefited at all the people of Egypt. People of Egypt, their standard of living has declined over the last several decades. And of course, the repression leveled against the Palestinian people by the Israeli government has increased. There's a virtually a war zone that exists between Egypt and Israel in the Sinai. And they've been doing everything possible to further suppress the Palestinian people. So there's no way in the world that the United States can justify its position on Egypt. It's purely designed to foster the overall design of the United States to support the state of Israel and to support other client states throughout the entire region of North Africa and the Middle East.
Mr. Kabbani, those who refused to call what happened in Egypt a coup, they say people came out, they didn't want Mohamed Morsi to stay in power, they wanted him out. The military stepped in, supported the people, and now it's helping the country move toward democracy. I'd like you to tell us, do you think that the military or the military-backed government does have an actual plan to do that, to help Egypt move forward, both in terms of democratic improvement and economic improvement?
This is actually what the propaganda machine of the military is trying to brainwash the Egyptian people and the international public opinion with. Democracy have got legitimate channels to change a regime, to change the president, to change the government, but the street is not one of these legitimate channels to change the government, and certainly a military coup with the tanks in the street are not the method in democracy. So if those people were after democracy, they would have hurried the election of the parliament rather than asking their constitutional court, which now the head of that court was rewarded by being the interim president, to dissolve the Egyptian parliament. It is actually to take off the legitimate cover from any elected president so the army can remove him at will and saying that he is siding with the will of the people. I admit and recognize that there was opposition against the military, the Muslim Brotherhood regime. That happened in any democracy. The liberal and the secular were against the Islamists to be in power. But then the ballot box should be the reference to decide who rule and govern the country. It's not a Sisi and his army going in the street and with their tanks. And by the way, from the 30th of June to the 3rd of July, you can't prepare the army to go in the streets and control all the vital department and establishment and arrest all the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood. They have been planning for this military coup for the last 6 months. From day one, when Mohamed Morsi won the first free and transparent election, they were planning to abort the revolution and kill the democratic experiment in its infancy in Egypt, because they know once the democracy is established in Egypt, the freedom and the wind of freedom will blow on all the Arab area.
Ms. Nazdiki, we are quickly running out of time. I'd like to have your conclusions as well. Of course, we've already said in this program that the recent decisions by the courts, the crackdown, are only creating more tension and are even leading to more demonstrations. But do you think that the Egyptian people have become closer to the ideals of the revolution, and do you think that that revolution can be salvaged?
I think it can be salvaged, but there has to be an open political debate between the various tendencies inside of Egypt itself. And I also want to point out that it's not just the supporters of the Muslim Brotherhood who are under attack right now in Egypt. There are many leftist forces, exactly. Student and youth leaders who have also been arrested, who have been killed. And this is clearly not a struggle purely between the so-called Islamist forces and the military. It's a much deeper conflict between revolutionary democracy and military dictatorship that's backed up by the West and other imperialist states.
The military dictatorship, correct. Mr. Azikiwe saying there, that's being backed by various countries. Mr. Kabbani, as your final remarks, what do you think about the role of these Western governments and also regional allies that Egypt also has, including Saudi Arabia, for one? We know that the issue of Egypt is actually causing division in the Arab League.
We all know that Egypt is suffering from a big and disastrous economic problem, and we saw the Saudi government and the government of Emirate throwing billions of dollars at the military government in Egypt to try to solve some of the economic problem. But actually, the Egyptian people discovered that their revolution had been aborted, their revolution had been kidnapped, and another uprising, as they surprised the whole world on January 25th, we will surprise the whole world again by another stronger uprising, because as your respected guest in the United States mentioned, the struggle is not between the Islamists and the military now, it is between the pro-democracy and the pro-military establishment, and the victory at the end, I believe, will be always with the people when they decide to restore their sovereignty and regain back their freedom, dignity, and authority.
Thank you very much, journalist and political analyst Mr. Ali Al-Kabbani, with us there live from London. A big thank you to our guest in Detroit, editor of the Pan-African Newswire, Mr. Abuyomi Azikiwe. Thank you so much, everyone, for staying with us for this edition of The Debate. From me, Homa Lesgi, until our next programme, it's goodbye.